Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Program. The Program audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The Program is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about the program at www.rustyquill.com or www.programaudioseries.com or search for The Program Audio Series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hello again, and welcome to episode 12 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast with me, your host and GM, Alex Newell. And with me today, I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Ben Meredith.
Lydia Nicholas.
And who are you all playing?
Sir Bertrand Bertie McGuffingham, half-man, half-man.
A helpful introduction there, James.
Hamid the halfling sorcerer, slightly more distraught than usual.
Oh, yeah.
Zulf Smith, Dwarven Cleric, 3/4 Dwarf, 1/4 Peg Leg.
Sasha Rackett, human, and very sulky right now. Yes. Sulky. Sad.
Sad.
Quiet.
Terrified.
Wait, well, yeah.
Shocked, anxious,
There's
stressed out.
There's a whole
out.
Gamut of emotions.
I've got a lot of emotions
just
going.
Just generally not doing okay,
you
guys.
You can't tell, though, unexpressive face.
So, just to recap what was happening from last week, obviously the party were working their way through Other London in search of details to do with the simulacrum, of which you found some pieces. And then, whilst under there, you got a little bit ambushed.
We got beaten. We had our buttocks handed to us, I would say.
Terribly. Absolutely terribly.
You may have gotten a little bit rinsed.
So many critical fails.
But it's okay, because they got critical hits against you.
It's true.
I mean, it really was
buttock after buttock after buttock. And it's like, I can't hold
so
all
many
of these buttocks.
So yeah, luckily it turned out that they weren't quite there just to kill you or anything. Yeah. Led you away to...
I don't think they would have been upset if that happened.
Not really.
They're not very nice people.
And you guys made your way to a building that Sasha recognised and didn't like.
Nope.
Namely, the sort of headquarters of Barrett Rackett.
Yeah, did everyone else notice how they have the same surname, guys? Yeah.
It's probably a coincidence.
Rackett, Smith.
Yeah, it's a pretty common name. Smith, it would be like the village blacksmith. Rackett would be the village tennis professional.
Coach.
So, it's perfectly logical.
So anyway, yep, you made your ways up into his office, had a nice little chat, made some friends.
Had a nice little cry.
Barrett gave Hamid, obviously, a ring.
A mysterious ring.
Which he was all
ring.
Too keen to put on.
Mysterious ring. You don't know what it does.
Is this the rest of the podcast now? It's just us in silence.
Oh, and don't forget, Bertie's got himself some brandy.
Brandy.
I hope you added that to your...
Yep.
Brandy.
I didn't brandy check. And eel in a bun. Basically, I need to collect the ingredients for a whole picnic by the end of the campaign.
That is a very good point. I've remembered that I have detect poison. I did intend to use it on the brandy when we got mine.
I didn't see if it was magical or not.
So, yeah, you guys made it out of the compound, got all of your equipment back, and were effectively just about to discuss what happens next. Obviously, you've got the map as well. Don't forget that. Sasha's been able to read
which
it.
Which I will be handing over to Sasha as... Yeah, I understand that it... Well, I understand that it's another London map, but...
I feel very trusted.
Darned if I can read it.
Yeah.
So, I think that's everything. So, you can just pick up where you left off.
Yeah.
Guys, like, I can show you to an inn. Like, but nothing is going to happen to us now that Barrett's got his eyes on us.
We need we need time to recuperate. Well, I don't know how.
Down that alley, a few floors down.
Still bleeding quite a lot, really.
Yes, I'm quite badly hurt.
Okay,
too.
Yeah, I know. Actually, that's the point. How many potions have we got left?
I've got one.
Yeah, everyone check your things. I've got one as well.
If brandy is a potion, I have two.
Yeah.
Brandy's not a potion.
Everyone had one.
Yes.
I had two.
At least, yes.
I drank one.
Yeah, so
I think
now
I had two as well. I had two as well, so now I'm down to one. Actually, I need to rub that out. Oh, no, I used a cure. I used a spell.
Hooray.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. If I didn't, people could shout at me on the forum.
Yeah.
And tell me I'm wrong.
Okay, so you've got potions. What's the plan?
Let's just go to an inn.
We'll get ourselves
to an inn.
Can you get
a few floors down?
Yeah.
All right. I lead them down an alley to the side, and then further down, which is deeper, I know, into Barrett's territory, but it is thus more lived in. Mm-hmm. This is Barrett's home is sort of on the edge of looking out on a no man's land that no one wants to cross. Whereas, it's a bit more lively down there. Mm-hmm. But I begin, I'm guessing, to see faces that I recognise. I might put up a mild disguise.
Give me the roll then and go for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just putting on my hat with different coloured hair. You know. Three! It's the same hair!
You've got a wig that looks exactly like your hair.
You're so terrible at disguise.
You've got a hat that looks like no hat.
No, it's just a hat with Sasha Racket.
You try to make a disguise, you just put on makeup.
Yeah. I look all right.
So, you try to disguise yourself. As you're walking around, a lot of people start, you know, nodding, acknowledging Sasha.
Oh, my God, damn it!
A couple of people say hi, quite friendly. Yeah.
Friendliness. In a friendly fashion.
That's the one.
Would they? Yeah, maybe
a couple
of them
weren't friendly. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. There are some people who aren't happy to see you, but there's just as many who are. And this deep into sort of Racket territory, things seem a bit more stable. It seems a bit closer to the markets up top to all of the people who aren't from other London, except a bit closer to that sort of balance between domestic and market, whereas the upper levels were, you know, pretty much just market, really. These lower levels seem to be a bit more balanced between market and stalls.
I take them to an inn.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of the inn? Go.
It's the Bloody Bulldog.
The Bloody Bulldog. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's a good one. I like that inn.
Dogs.
the sign is a taxidermy bulldog head swinging on a stand. It's homely.
Are you sure this is the kind of pub we want to be?
This is the nicest pub around here.
Right. I'll take your word for it, I guess.
This is the posh one.
Oh.
Heading inside, it's posh by other London standards. It's sort of, there's still rushes on the floor and stuff, but there's tables. There's even glasses, not like metal tankard jobs, like actual glasses. The person behind the bar doesn't seem particularly aggressive or anything. They're huge. Like, enormous, enormous person to the point where you're wondering if this part of them isn't human because they're...
Bertie size.
No, they're a step above Bertie. They are massive as a person.
All right, Greg.
You're seeing Sasha.
It's, complex right now.
Is it ever not?
Tell me about it.
So, what are you drinking? I'll get the round in since, got us into this mess, so... Looks like it do.
Nice. Greg, the alcohol.
he reaches past
four of the alcohol.
he walks past four casks, all of which are just numbered 1, 2, 3. Goes to four, pulls out, puts some drinks in some glasses, actual like pint glasses. Puts them on the side for you.
It's good to see you, Sasha.
How's it been?
Call it four.
It is four.
Three.
No, it's four.
Yeah.
He's gesturing cash.
Yeah. Copper, right?
Yeah, four coppers.
Oh,
I'll push six.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
I thought he was talking about the number.
These are four.
Well done. Yeah. Well, and take one away. And now how many are there?
Yeah.
So yeah, he just gives the glasses, gives a nod to Sasha, and then just stumps off the 1 foot he can go along the bar.
Right. Well, here's to here's to progress.
To surviving.
Cheers.
I guess we could use the luck.
Yep.
Yep. Definitely could.
Hey, clank. Yep.
Yes.
Sasha, it's fine. It's exactly what you expect. Zolf, it's vaguely reminiscent of Firewater that you probably shouldn't have, but did have as a kid.
Well, I mean, on a boat as well. Probably
like
heavy drinkers.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. I just mean it brings up some old memories.
Hammer's reactions.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a constitution of 16.
Oh, here's the thing, Bertie. With you, so you've gone from a very, very fine brandy to what happens to very fine brandy if you sort of pour it into a puddle, then sort of pick it up with a cocktail shaker, shake it a bit, and then try and drink it.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
It's good, isn't it?
Strong.
Yeah.
Might need another then?
No. Thank you.
Put hair on your back.
Does he really want hair there?
That's what they always tell me.
Bet this tastes the same on the way out as it does on the way in.
Well, if you drink enough, you find out.
Mm. I hate to be the one to ask everyone, but I know we've been hired to go after these people, but are we ready? I mean, that was like the first real fight we had, and...
We lost quite badly. We got caught unaware.
Well, we didn't, though. We saw them, me and Sasha.
Yeah, but how many of them were there? Like, did we clock them all? Maybe we were just overconfident. We've got a measure of what we can do now.
I told you not to come down.
We've been to worse places. Well, I've been to worse places.
Nice.
I definitely haven't. This is terrible. Look at this.
You know, I mean, look. Greg's bar is pretty great.
And look...
Cheers, Sasha.
It's all right, Greg.
Also, I'm going to say... I've got to say... We're mercenaries. We are paid to go into dangerous situations. We can't shy away from something just because it's going to be unpleasant. We've got to power on through and see how we can do. Now, the pay for this one is significant. Right? I think it's a difficult job, but we're going to be rewarded well. We can buy you 100 falcons on your hat.
I mean, can we do it, though? There were four of them and two dogs and... And, you know, they took us all out.
We made a silly decision. We grouped up. We knew that they had bombs. We grouped up and that cost us. Next time, let's not do that.
So you think next fight we don't stick together?
No, but we...
That sounds...
Assess the situation. I've got to say, I dropped the ball on that one. I should have been ready. I'm the one with the shield. I should have deflected it. I didn't. I made a mistake. Next time, we're going to learn. We'll get stronger and we'll keep going, okay? Yeah.
Now, Hammond, in your darkest hours, when you feel the fear creeping up behind you, like a man who is perhaps maybe 4 foot tall, and you think, you know, maybe death's icy finger is working its way up my spine one vertebra at a time and is just about to stick itself in my ear, just think of, you know, of the money, of the massive amount of money. You know, and I often find that thought very comforting, you know. I will just think, I'll put myself in my happy place. You know, I'm there on a beach made of money. And the money is gently lapping at my feet.
Okay, I'll try and keep the money in
money.
I mean, they seemed much better at ganging up on us than we were at ganging up on them.
But we've
got to do more of that.
We haven't known each other very much. We don't know how each other fights. We will learn. And we've been thrust into this, a bit ad hoc, I'm going to say. But when we get through this, we can do a bit of training, do a bit of development. We'll be able to, you know... I've been reading about it, and there's some manuals in this.
I'd certainly like to learn more about how to fight people. I don't think I'm very good at it yet.
Anyway, how we progress now. So I can sort you two out. I need to sort myself out. I need to sort you out a bit. You all right?
I could do with a little bit of healing.
Okay. Well, I'll see what I can do on the limited resources we've got. Tomorrow, fresh and fit, take a more cautious approach.
Eels are good for fixing people. Greg! could we order in some eels?
Oh, well. They'll cost you at least two each.
Yeah.
Eels all around?
Eels are good. Eels are good.
Eels
are good.
Eels, right. I think that's...
Maybe in a nice pie or a quiche.
Don't they get a quiche?
Sasha wants a quiche.
I'm not sure.
If you can imagine a pie, but it doesn't have a hat.
Oh yeah, that sounds well easy. Yeah, right. I'll give an eel quiche.
Right, lovely.
Or just a pie. A pie would be fine.
No quiche.
So, yeah, eel quiche. Thank you very much.
Can you just head out from there?
All right.
So, yeah, no, don't need to super get through it, but I will start off, I think, with Hammond. Mm-hmm. Just take you over to a quiet corner of the bar.
Well, but before I just have one other question.
Yeah?
Did any of you see what happened to my hands?
No, I was on the other side of the... What?
You mean,
I
mean that bloke talking about the dragon hands?
Did you get blood on them or something? It's fine. You get
just Hammond closes his eyes and sort of concentrates really hard, and you can see sort of emotions flashing across his face as he's trying to remember how he felt. And it seems like a bit of a struggle. He's just sort of flexing his fingers. And then suddenly... his hands turn into claws again.
Ah!
That is messed up.
This is not...
That's so useful.
This is not a spell I've ever studied. I don't understand what this is.
Can you
It doesn't feel like a spell.
It's silent as well.
He sort of waves
whoa,
them.
Whoa.
He closes his eyes and sort of tries to wave them, not at anyone, just to try and shake off the claws.
Waving
and
his own hands away.
Yes, and they turn back into normal hands again.
Ten daggers.
I've got to say, that's a skill that I'm glad we now have.
But why can I do it?
You throw those magic things,
yeah, you're,
right?
You're the wizard.
Isn't it all
But this
magic?
Isn't a spell I've ever studied. It's not a spell I know. I haven't heard of this spell.
Can you do anything else? Can you turn them into, like, opera gloves or something? Yeah.
It's like I learned.
Yes, I cast prestidigitation and
there
whip
you
out
know.
Some size. But that's different. That is a spell. You heard my sounds and my movements.
It's
that's
like
a spell.
I learned to pick
the claws are different
and get like a blade in under a window thing, and then that meant it was pretty easy to stab.
Yelkish.
Boom.
He just dumps down onto the table four plates, each of which is clearly an eel pie, and he's just ripped the top off.
I'll push.
Cheers, Greg.
10 copper over.
No worries.
Look, so maybe you've earned the favour of a god.
Stabbing god. Which god is
what?
That?
The god of very firm handshakes.
Well, maybe Ares.
Bit lizardy for Ares.
Maybe. Now,
have you got any enemies that might do it to you?
Make my hands weird.
Yeah.
I think ultimately
enemies are weird.
What we should probably take from this is. You can do that now. Great, you now know it. Use it to your advantage. Take it, roll with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know? You're out of your comfort zone. That's good. So, look. Let's get you healed up. We'll have a night to reflect on it. And then in the morning, we can get going and, you know.
Okay. We'll deal with it.
Deal with it as it comes.
Later.
Maybe the ring did it.
I mean, I was wearing the ring just now when my hand changed. Yeah. And the ring stays on.
Yeah, it changes size to
it
fit whatever shape his hands take.
Because it's a magical item.
Yeah, all magical items. Oh, yeah, actually, I should point out for listeners. Magical items in this world, part of their magic is that they fit you. As long as you're buying in the sort of right sort of category.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, if you're buying something for a tail and you don't have a tail, that's not going to work. But otherwise,
they adjust size.
Stuff automatically fits you.
Maybe that's what the ring does. Maybe the ring did it to you. The ring is causing your hands to go.
It happened in the fight before I got the ring.
Who knows?
It's just a bit strange, but...
We can
find
out when we're not in a pub.
Yeah.
In other London.
I think maybe I'll look into it another time.
You can trust
Greg. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, Sasha.
You know what they say about halflings with big lizard hands?
They're freaks.
Cheers,
well, thank you for your constructive input there, Greg.
Was there an end to that, or...?
Oh, a big lizardy feet. I mean, could you do anything else? I mean, could you do a flip? I mean...
What?
Right, so you've got these big lizardy hands. Can you change anything else lizardy?
I don't think so.
Well, that's that.
We'll have a think about it.
Yep.
But, look, just come with me, I'll get you sorted out, and then we'll look at you two in the morning, okay?
Okay.
Good stuff.
I will use my obscuring mist and convert it... Mm-hmm. Will cure light wounds.
Well, as opposed to filling the pub with mist for no reason.
Yeah, I could do that if you want.
Good quiche,
Bertie. Good quiche. Lovely. I think that's all I have.
None of the words that you've just used.
Can you do it with level zero spells?
Greg worked
well?
Real hard on
I don't
this.
I think I can. Can I?
What with his hands?
Oh, that's. Can I?
You should be able to channel positive energy on any spell.
Oh, it's channel positive energy.
To turn it to spontaneously convert it into a healing spell of the same level.
Okay, brilliant. That makes my healing much better than I thought. I thought it was only level one spells. It's not.
No.
So, brilliant. I will. Are you sorted now?
Yes.
Brilliant. You're all done.
That's all my hit points.
Bertie, come on.
Oh, are you finished with the quiche, Bertie?
I am entirely finished with this.
The eel pie is actually quite nice, I think.
Yeah, incorrect.
It's a bit salty. Quiche. The eel quiche is nice.
But yeah, you should appreciate the effort Greg put into this.
And onto the spell. I've just got to keep things moving.
Yes, so to review, I will convert a detect poison through. You get 8 hit points back.
Lovely. I'm now up to 9 hit points. So I've got 4
don't
more
forget
to
you gain plus 1 per spell.
No, because it is. I'm casting it using a cast level 0 right now.
You can't convert a 0 into a level 1.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You have to convert a level 1 into a level 1, a level 2 into a level 2.
Well, I'll convert 3 level 0s into 3 hit points for you.
That's it?
Yeah.
Give him a day. God, they're right. Tired.
Okay, all right, fine. So in that case, I'm up to 4 hit points from my original 1.
Yep.
Okay.
Cool.
So presumably you guys...
I look expectantly at Zolf.
I'm sorry, I'm out for the day. But,
all right.
Morning.
So presumably you are now all going to go hit the sack.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You get shown to your rooms. They're on an upper floor. The stairs creak ominously as your gracious innkeeper shows you to your rooms. But you guys go and have a decent night's sleep. Hamid, give me a will save.
11.
11. You have some slightly disquieting nightmares about your hands turning into independent things and coming for you and your friends. But nothing... You still managed to get a night's sleep.
Okay.
How many hit points do we go up overnight, if at all?
You are looking at about your level. You're looking at your level in hit points, really. So,
one.
Not regular level one.
It's not a huge amount, but the point is that it's going to take you a few days to recover from a beating.
Yeah,
you've got a cleric on board.
Yay.
Walking hospital with the tribe.
You love yourself.
So, you guys all wake up, come down, and... you get some more eel quiche. Complimentary breakfast quiche.
Oh, very nice.
And you notice that a few other people are staring at quiche a little bit worryingly. And just from behind the bar you get...
Cheers, Greg.
I like quiche.
Appreciate it, Greg.
Yeah.
Quiche. Anyway, let's get you lot fixed up a bit more. So, Bertie, come with me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, brilliant. Get 2 hit points. And he's worse than I thought, so hold your breath. 7 hit points back.
I'm now back up to 4 hit points.
Good. Excellent. And Sasha?
I'm only a little bit. I mean, don't
you're not,
worry.
You're not too bad?
I'm not too bad.
Alright, we've all got potions. I need one myself. Give me a second. I get 9 hit points back, so way over, so I'm back on 4. Which is good.
Cool. It's worth asking at this time, actually, what spells you prepared, and what have you converted any into a heal already?
Yeah.
Okay.
All 3 of those. So, sure. Obscuring Mist, Sanctuary, and Summon Master. Summon Monster 1, even.
Summon Master, no, that's a very scary sound.
You do what I say!
No, I'm sorry. those are what I prepared, and those are what I've converted, and then I've got my level 0 spells, which are Detect Poison, Stabilise, and Create Water.
Sure. Okay.
Create Water. Yay.
I've learnt.
He has to have some excuse to use his stepping stones.
Right.
So should we start following the map then?
Yeah, I guess so. I think ultimately they probably think we've been taken out by
Barrett's
lot. Yeah. So they probably won't be expecting us. And if I assume you're comfortable with going in ahead because, well, us two, not the most unobtrusive lot.
Yeah, I can look it all up. It's like, so this map, it'll take us a while to get there. Is 3 floors up, a couple of hikes around the back of some... Yeah, and then down again. Right, so we'll end up on roughly the same level. Just have to go up and down, wiggle around a couple of tunnels. But there's nothing I see that's a big problem.
You do notice that everything that you've said is true, but you will also be drawing near the Thames, which obviously in Upper London isn't really a presence that people take into account anymore, but it looks like the place will be backing onto the Thames.
Your line is though, near the river.
Good, good, I can use that.
Yeah, might be an idea to stock up, stuff's cheap down here. Don't know, the potions are worth their salt or money.
Let's just head on.
Right,
see what we pick up on the way.
Okay, so presumably you head out and start.
Bye, Greg.
Bye.
It was nice to meet you, Greg. Here, I hand him a silver piece.
He kind of looks at it, looks up, and goes, puts his giant bulbous finger up. 1 second, goes in the back, comes out, and then he disappears for a couple of minutes. You hear a clatter, a bang, and then he holds out 4 hankies that are wrapped up.
Oh, cheers, Greg!
Thank you very much, Greg.
Grab
appreciate
them.
It.
Thank you.
Bye, Sasha. Bye, Greg. Good seeing you.
And yeah, you guys head out into London again. So
everyone add eel quiche to their inventory.
Oh yeah, for goodness. For goodness sake, you can't forget your eel quiche.
Eel in a bun, eel quiche.
Just eels, 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 eels. That is.
Well, that and the white cabbage.
So yeah. I tell you what then, why don't you describe the journey to us, Lady?
Right, okay. So we wander for about 10 minutes through the more flourishing sort of racket territory. You notice it might look a bit more friendly towards the centre of these large spaces, because it's all sort of courtyards with stuff built over, but I am sticking to the wall. And you find yourself in quieter alleys, even though sometimes you're doing 3 sides of a square. But no one bothers you.
I'm keeping my eyes out a bit more aggressively than I was before to avoid more pickpocketing incidents.
Yeah.
I am, if anything, as careless as you've ever seen me. I know that the protection of Barrett means everything in these territories. So it's about 10 minutes of that through these sort of these small alleyways. Then there is a hike up about 3 grueling floors of slimy stairs. It's horrendously drippy, mould on the walls. Up those.
Bertie probably carries hammered for that bit.
It's not fun for you guys, but I'm guessing that Zolf is just like, oh yes, like bilge water.
Yeah, I mean, just because I was a sailor doesn't mean that I like bilge water.
So there's up, there's across, there's down again. There's one point where there's another of those massive gates that we used to come across, that we came across the first few times, and I tell you guys to sort of kind of, right, we're out of racket territory. There's an alliance here, so we should just let us through. Wouldn't be surprised if he's even told them that we're coming. But from now on, stuff can go wrong, and round here what can go wrong will go wrong.
To chip in at this point, a couple of guards at one of those large doors, again, which has the bolts, like you were saying. It's a side, and the couple of guys there are clearly Barrett guides. They show you through, and they gesture for you to go talk to guards on the other side, mm-hmm. who appear much scruffier, mm-hmm. much less well off, and so on. And without a word, they sort of flank you guys and then mm-hmm. just start walking. At that point, I'm going to take a break there, and mm-hmm. then we'll rejoin it in a couple of minutes.
Cool.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hello there, I'm James.
And I'm Alex.
All the way from Rusty Quill Towers. Now, this August...
That's August 2015. If you're listening in the future, then we're all dead and apes have taken over the Earth!
Ah, curse you, apes! You are the source of most of my problems. Now... we're both doing shows at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year, and we'd love you, specifically you, to come along. My show is a stand-up show. It's called James Ross Lepidoptera. It's on from the 8th until the 29th of August, except on Wednesdays, at 4:45 at Globe Bar on Nidri Street. Now, it will be literally the best thing you've ever seen if you've had a very narrow life and an extremely limited field of experiences.
And I'm directing a sketch comedy show with a group called Casual Violence. The show's called Om Nom Nom Nominous, and it's on at the Pleasance upstairs at 11:15pm from the 20th to the 23rd. If you like those nightmares where you run screaming from a monster only to realise it was actually just trying to invite you to a show but you didn't realise, so you instead stayed home alone and watched reruns of Magic Roundabout whilst crying, then this is the show for you.
It is the show for me.
Yeah. So we hope to see you there, and we hope we don't disappoint you too much if it's the first time you've met us.
I am not going to disappoint you. I'm really impressive.
You're a joy. Anyway, with that, let's get back to the show.
Let's do that thing.
And welcome back. So, yeah, just picking up from where we left off, you guys are getting shown through an opposition territory, which is obviously much harder done by. And tell you what, Lydia, you're doing a good job. Keep going.
Right, this place is scruffy. I noticed that the eels hanging from the stands are thin, wispy things without any good slime on them at all.
Substandard eels.
There are a lot of very pale rats and frogs. It's getting wetter. Water voles, if anything, like sliding through puddles. There's even rushes, like very sort of pale rushes under some of the lights. Stuff is growing, which sort of disgusts me, although I don't let it on. We're moving through. I keep looking out for pickpockets at this point, because we are not under protection here.
Yep.
I'm guessing these guys lead us to the opposite, sort of like straight through. And then...
sure. So they lead you through their territory. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you make it, the buildings start petering away, and it becomes very, very clear that no one's lived in this area anymore. And they lead you basically towards a part where there's still discolouring on the walls and things like that, and it's very clear that you're beneath where the floodwaters once were,
yeah.
Like very visibly beneath. And they eventually...
is it marshy?
It's starting to get that way. There's not much unpaved stone, but most of the stone that you can see is buckled upwards. It looks like it wasn't made to deal with this kind of environment.
The loose ones squelch when you step on them.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's that. It has that. There's an awkward moment, which is always the case, where let's say Bertie walking along puts his foot on one of those slightly flaggy stones, and it tips up, sprays mud,
and he kicks it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just ugh. But they stop and they just gesture for you to carry on. And you see that it starts to slope down precipitously. And there's a couple of buildings, but it looks like a bunch of buildings have tumbled down. So there's lots of strewn stone. And it goes downhill for a while. And you're looking out over what is now the Thames. And
there's still a roof over our head. Right?
There's still a roof, but it's very high up. Like, you've been heading down and the roof has been more or less level. Mm-hmm. And it's... in the distance you can see enormous, enormous buttresses holding it up, like really huge steel constructions and girders and so on. And heading down, you sort of are looking out over this fetid Thames. It's barely moving, and there's still pieces of rubble in the middle of it where they've sort of fallen and been left to lie. And it's very clear that all of London, both Londons, are probably dumping into this. Certainly no one's using the water for anything, if you can call it water.
Childhood swimming.
And most of the buildings on both sides of the banks are gone. You see a similar slope on the opposite side. But on this nearest side, you are looking down at what looks like a makeshift compound. Someone has sort of set up shop in a couple of the buildings that are still remaining. It looks like they've made fencing out of corrugated iron, things like that. You see a couple of guys with dogs are walking the perimeter of it, and there's a large makeshift gate. You notice that the walls are on the three sides bordering up to the Thames, but not as high across the Thames. Like, there's a nominal sort of like barrier, like a railing, but the Thames being so low, it's mostly like mudlark territory, if you know what I'm talking about.
Is it on stilts or is it?
Yeah, it's raised. It's the buildings that are still there are still built in, but most of the, you see a couple of wooden structures in there are raised upon stilts. Not really, really high or anything, just enough to get them out of the muck.
But we're not, so we can just about see that, but they haven't seen us yet.
No, you're a good, like, say, 800 metres, something like that. A decent distance away, where just through the haze you're looking down upon them.
I hold a hand up and get everyone to crouch down.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that looks like it. I mean, Zolf, do you have a plan, or do you just want me to go in?
We need to do proper reconnaissance so we know exactly what we're going up against.
Uh-huh. All right, I'll go down, I guess. Yeah, you guys have a lovely time back here with your quiche.
Yep.
Nick. Yeah.
No, take this time as well. I'll give you the healing potion that I've got, just in case.
I cast message so that you can still clever. Talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers. And I guess I sneak my little sneaky heart
just
out.
Just shout and we'll come running.
Good luck.
Give me a stealth roll to approach the compound first.
14 plus 7,
21. 21, yep. So you start approaching, and like you said, this is kind of old territory for you. As a kid, you used to spend a bit of time around here. It's certainly not how you remember it. The compound's fairly recent.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you know how to navigate the area. You know sort of bogs to avoid, the bits that are quite shallow.
All of them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I melt into the stone like mould on a cake.
Everyone else can follow Sasha heading to a pile of the rubble and then linger for a bit and then quickly move across, trotting across to another pile of rubble, but quite soon you lose her in sort of the haze and things. And
there's a haze as well.
Oh, just a little bit.
I've just checked the spell message, and it doesn't have a long enough range to actually accomplish this.
She's going to drop out of range incredibly quickly.
But I don't think we will be able to get to a range where it's actually going to work. So I'll sort of, as you're moving out of the edge of range, I'll whisper that to you through the spell, so you know.
I'll say that's all right. I'm not going all the way in. So
sure.
Yeah.
You approach the compound. Mm-hmm. As close within reason as you'd like to with that stealth check.
Yeah, so I think with that, like, I am still maybe like 10, 15 metres away. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to see how many guards they've got on. There's no way I'm going to be actually listening to their conversation.
You see basically those two guards are on patrol,
mm-hmm.
and they just seem to run a path from up to the river on one wall side with their dog,
mm-hmm.
up across the gate, back down around to the other side. It's just mm-hmm. a square compound. They cross each other at the gate occasionally, linger, maybe share a bite or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. We've invented quiche.
You see in one of the still remaining actually old buildings mm-hmm. in the compound, lights are on, and it becomes clear that the older buildings, people are only in the upper floors.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a shed which is on sort of stilts, mm-hmm. and then there is two buildings in there. Right. One of which has the lights on the second floor, one of which doesn't. There are people moving in the one with lit windows.
I want to get right around it and see if there is any possibility of us swimming in on the Thames side, mm-hmm. possibly using some of Zulf's mists.
Give me an
magics.
Extra stealth check. Mm.
8 plus 7, so only 15.
Well, it's at least possible for them to discern you this time, so I'll give you an opposed roll. Okay, as you start to do so, one of the dogs just sort of, you know, the ears prick up, the kind of squirrel thing, and then the guy who's with the dog he stops. He doesn't seem concerned. He clearly hasn't seen or heard anything, but nonetheless, the dog sort of pricks its ears up and is definitely looking in your general direction. Right. You made it, say, halfway to the river at that point.
Yeah.
From there, you can see that the mud runs more or less right up to that compound,
uh-huh.
and it's clear that they've kind of just gotten a bit lazy when it comes to the fencing, but you couldn't get any closer than that without, obviously, the dog reacting.
Yeah, it's not even going to be easy to stab anyone at this point, is it? I mean, I can't, with the dogs and everything, I can't go right up to them and even throw something. Stab it. Right, so I'm going to... Yep.
Hide one of the fire flasks inside an eel pie.
Mm. Oh, that's brutal.
Oh,
yeah. Right. I cannot see an easy way for me to sneak in if the dog is already aware of me. I'm not going to slip under that water and get in. So I am going to come back and report to you guys, or get within message range, and tell you.
You may as well go the whole hog and just do the conversation. I'll role play it.
All right. Right. So it's they've got guards with dogs. I know how you feel about dogs now. But tell them that the thing's built right up against the river, and I think it's possible we could sneak in maybe under the river, like maybe swimming, or like if we did.
Is there a fence on the riverside?
Yeah, but like a small one. And we could maybe the dogs and the guys like they're not aware, mate. You could shoot down one.
There were big chunks where, like I said, they loitered at the gate. To share food, so there were good chunks of time.
We could swim down, like, and at the times where they're away from the river, we could come down on the riverside.
I don't know how
you'd
be to swim, but Zulf might be able to. Why don't you come back and we'll plan right. with Zulf.
Okay,
and,
we'll
and Bertie.
We'll accelerate time. You sneak across.
Astonishing they don't notice me with my brass band.
What do you think we should do? What's the best way? Should we break into the compound? Should we take out the guards?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That last fight, I'm not too keen to get just into another straight up brawl.
I recommend a daring frontal assault.
What I could do, I could throw the last Thunderstone in, see if I can knock them all out, and then go in and we stab them up.
Do you know, was it only the guards you could see? Do you know if there are any, how many people there are inside, or...?
There's lights on, there's people around, but it's...
The only thing with Thunderstone is it would alert everybody. If we can take out those guards nice and quick...
Yeah. Do you think we could lure them away from the fence somehow?
Maybe.
And take them out slightly further from the compound where their friends can't come and help?
Yeah. Were there any point they might call for reinforcements?
So we could totally sneak down the river. Like, how fast your stone...
Could we not just sneak through the gate?
Through the gate.
Well, if they both leave,
they'll notice the gate opening from the inside.
Well, perhaps, if I might suggest, if someone, someone tall, charming, a very engaging personality, were to talk to the two guards when they are clustered at the front, at the gate, thereby providing a distraction.
What are you suggesting?
For people who are better suited to swimming through filth to approach the compound from the rear.
We can get through. I mean, swimming through the river, you're more sort of familiar with it, but...
I can't minus one swim. I don't swim.
I can't swim too well. Assuming that Bernie can't, we can't afford to have him take his armour off and put it back on again.
No.
So
I'm not very good at swimming either.
So the riverbank, can we traverse that, or does it back straight onto the water?
There is a bit of a gap between the water and the compound. Not much. It, like I said, it goes sort of muddy, and then after a small period of mud, you get to the actual water. So you could, I mean, it looked like it would be tough work, like wading through mud.
Do you spell people have anything like sleep that can knock out those guards? Nothing.
No. Maybe. Not like that.
I still think our best way might be to just lure them away and see if we can. I could try and make friends with one of them. I mean, that's a bit like Bertie's plan, but I have a spell that can do it.
Really?
Are you saying my charm would be insufficient?
No.
Good. Then we're agreed. I'm very charming.
All right. No, I think that's... Yeah, so you've got something in your arsenal that can do that, then let's give it
sure,
a go.
Sure, Hamid, there's two men and two dogs. If it goes wrong...
We'll just have to fight them, I guess.
Right. Well, I'll be right by you. You won't see me, but I'll be right there.
All right, myself and Bertie will be waiting close by.
Okay, so, out of character, I want you to spell out to me what your plan is before I can start running it through.
I'll wait till the guards are not next to each other. I'm going to approach one of them and cast Charm on him. And because I'll be a trusted friend, I'll be asking him to just come over here and see this cool thing I've found.
At which point?
Everyone else is going to jump out at him and...
Yeah, lead him over to us.
Knock him over
there. Okay.
Come over the head.
Quick question. How long does Charm person last?
Pretty decent length of time, actually.
Can't we just, send him to go off for a hike somewhere and, take the dog with him? And,
he'll get a bonus to the save, a little bonus to the save, not to disobey an order that he's been previously given by someone, but it's certainly doable.
If we could just send him off somewhere, he's off on an errand, so he's got to go and get dog biscuits. Something like that.
Is your plan to get into the compound telling someone to go buy some headlight fluid?
Something like that.
Maybe some polka dot paint.
Yep. Left-handed hammer.
Should I try and do it to both of them? Should I try and cast the spell on both of them? Well,
do you think you can?
You're the one that knows how it
works. I can try. I mean, not while they're next to each other, but I could do it on one and then get them, and the two of us could get the other one.
Getting rid of them, yeah.
The casting of two charms simultaneously is fine. They won't interfere with one another.
Separate combat rounds, technically, but...
Sure. But all I meant, though, is that if you were isolating one of them and then got away with it so that the other person's come back and there's no one there...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's no problems. This is mostly for listeners. If you charm a person and then use another spell to charm another person, you could hypothetically use all of your spells to charm all of the people.
Yeah.
But obviously, then you wouldn't have any other spells.
Oh, also,
lot of people on your side.
For people at home, I have actually been... I did double check, and I've been slightly misusing the way the clerics work. I've got channel energy, which I can do a certain number of times per day, which is not the main healing thing. At the moment, I've been using spontaneous casting, which is actually better for the situation, but if anyone's going, why hasn't you used his channel energy? It's because I forgot I had it. But now I'm going to use it, so that's good. Just for people like, this person doesn't know how to play the cleric. And it's like, yes, I do not. But I'm learning, so...
Okay, so, that's your plan, then?
Yeah.
So presumably then, everyone who isn't Hamid is going to be positioning themselves in such a way to get the jump on someone?
Bertie's quite a long way away.
Well, unless... my falcon's covered.
Did you notice anywhere that we could sort of close by that we could...
well, you won't like it.
I'm going to cut to Bertie knee-deep in a quagmire. Just knee.
Nest-deep, submerged.
Drowning in a quagmire.
A little reed snorkel. from within you can hear... I don't like this.
Racket!
So he's knee-deep in a quagmire with everyone else positioned, sort of, we'll call it a little sort of hollow, and with Zolf off to one side, and with Hamid suitably ready to sort of head off with Sasha, obviously, at the hollow as well.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, then, how do you want to approach Hamid?
Not stealthy, because I'm going to present myself as a friend.
Sure.
I'll be sort of smiling and waving and being like, "Gooey, over here!" and when I'm sure he's spotted me, I'll cast Charm.
So we'll roleplay the conversation, because you've got to get close enough because of the range of that spell.
Yes. Do you need it timed?
Fine. Who's that?
Gooey, hi, it's good to see you again. Do you remember me? Oh my god, you have to see...
Don't come any closer.
No, you have to see what's just around that corner. There's this weird statue.
Listen,
have you ever
stay
seen
away,
a statue?
Right?
It's of a falcon.
Listen, right? You're
really
not listening.
Exciting. No, trust me.
Great, by the way.
I cast the spell.
Oh yeah, it's just a will save,
will
isn't
save.
It? Ooh. What's the DC? that he has to hit.
I think it's only 14.
Oh, he's just rolled the 14.
Not charming enough.
No.
You could do another one, but you'll be taking a penalty for doing it immediately afterwards. The guy looks at you a bit confused and goes, look, right, this is your last warning. You come any closer and I will let the dog off.
Look, just come, follow me and see. I'm going to turn and start like jogging back where I was coming anyway.
Okay.
And just try and tempt him into following that way.
Sure. The guy...
Like, I'm not moving very fast.
No, I get you. Yeah. The guy doesn't follow, and then you hear him calling to the other guard, at which point the other guard comes jogging round. The two of them have a mud conversation you can't hear, just sort of keeping an eye on as you're heading off. And then both of them head off, following you with their dogs. So yes, they are now approaching the hollow.
Great.
Well, when do you get back to us?
You've got a decent lead because he had to call his friend, wait for him to come back. You'll have had to have presumably pretended that you fell down a bit.
Yes.
Buy yourself some time. But you've got a decent lead on them, like a couple of minutes for you to prepare if you need.
Right.
Well, we're not aware.
Once he gets back, you'll still have a couple of minutes. They're not loosing the dogs.
I want to be hidden behind a rock at a point where, as they go past me, I can stab them in the back.
That's totally the right thing.
I would make a slight mechanical point, is that wait until we've engaged. Because if you start, they turn around and engage you, and you lose all of your rogue benefits after that first hit. Okay.
But if you sneak up on them, and they're already being flanked, so you get the bonuses, and then you can still sustain.
Cool. I'm not quite in the hollow. I'm actually a little bit ahead, but like hidden round a corner, so that as you approach the hollow, I am behind you.
Sure.
Learning from previous incidents, I'm going to prepare myself holding two eel quiches to try and tempt some dogs.
Yep.
Yay. Oh, no, just shaving cream pies, but instead of shaving cream
pies. Yeah, Zolf and I are both carrying a large pane of glass across the road at the bottom of a hill.
To me, to you, to me.
So, Zolf, what's your preparation?
I am actually sort of like right behind the rock, so that if they come round, I'm really close to them with my trident.
Sure. And Bertie?
I'm standing knee-deep in a pool of waste at this point, am I?
And Hammer's been calling out that there's a giant falcony statue. Oh my goodness, look at the falcony statue.
Okay, I start thinking about how I can bluff myself as a magic talking statue to quite stupid guards. Well, who I assume are quite stupid guards because my character is a massive snob. So can I prep that in any way?
What is your disguise?
I'll tell you what, you could disguise yourself as a statue.
If
Sasha does it and she hurries, you can do it.
Right, I'm afraid I'm already a few.
Oh, I'm she's already.
Just toss him the disguise kit.
No, Bertie's going to have to. We'll
have to do it.
Go on then.
Okay, a disguise. I've got plus one to this because it's a charisma based disguise.
Yeah, go on.
20!
Yes!
Best natural 20 ever.
Amazing.
Wow. Okay, right. I've got to close on that. I have to close on that.
We're going to draw up this battle map and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Right, so bye everyone. Sorry. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Previously on Rusty Quill.
Previously on Bryn's introduction.
Meat golems!
Maybe we could just leave some eel pies for the dogs. That'd distract them.
Yeah, but then they probably wonder where the eel pies came from.
Around here you get a lot of eel pie.
What, just growing spontaneously out of the riverbank?
It's not pie.
No. I did not say that in character. Did you ever use your eel? Like, he threw his eel. You've still got your eel.
My eel remains unthrown.
It's significantly the worst for wear.
Is it an untossed eel?
It is an untossed eel. It's a holstered eel. I've got it tucked into my bandolier.
Flopping around.
That's all it's doing. It's as they're wiggling to strap my opponents.
The mustard definitely has got everywhere.
I think I'm going to have to play an eel-based character next time, and we'll have to wait while Bryn explodes.
Although
it was the floppy eel getting mustard everywhere.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Programme. The Programme audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The program is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about the program at www.rustyquill.com or www.programaudioseries.com or search for the Program Audio Series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.